You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
Well, how many of you here have ever taken a road trip? Let's see by a show of hands. All right, it looks like a good number of you know what I'm talking about. Road trips are a way of life for many vacationers. Now, while I was growing up, road trips were not a real frequent thing. In fact, I can only remember two road trips. And just to share with you my definition of a road trip, it means you're driving for at least 3 or 4 days, if not more, one direction, and then making your way back. And it means you have to sleep somewhere, whether it's a motel or a hotel or a campground. That all fits into my definition of road trip. One of the trips my family took was to drive all the way up to British Columbia and to visit a family on Vancouver Island. That road trip I don't have as many memories of because I was a lot younger. But there's one I remember very clearly that was a two-week expedition when my parents chose to borrow a camper. And the four of us and the family dog traveled to Grand Teton and Yellowstone Parks and back. Now, this was one of those campers, just so you have the mindset, not like these modern RVs. It was one that fit into the back of a pickup truck, you know what I'm talking about? And it had that part that extended over the cab of the truck. Well, that meant that sleeping arrangements for the four of us were very interesting. My parents, of course, got the mattress on that part that was over the cab of the truck. I got to use the dining table that actually converted to a bed. But all I remember about that is the cushions always slid off in the middle of the night. So your sleeping bag was usually right on that hard table, and you felt like you were falling halfway over the thing. Now, my sister, because she was the youngest and the smallest, got to crawl through the window of the camper into the front cab of the truck, and she got to sleep on the seat of the truck. This was not the Ritz-Carlton, friends. In fact, I learned much later in life that a decent tent and an air mattress are far superior to one of those 1960s camper trucks. Now, one of the reasons I remember this particular trip so well is that I got to participate with my parents in choosing the route for the trip. I was at a stage where I absolutely loved looking at maps. In fact, I still love looking at maps, even to this day. And so our grand circle on that trip included traveling up the eastern side of California and across Nevada and Utah and Idaho and Wyoming and Montana and Idaho a second time, and then Washington and Oregon, and we finally made it back to California. Most of the time we stayed in organized campgrounds. I do remember one time when we could not find a campground, so we were forced to stay by the side of a road in the middle of nowhere. On two occasions, we actually stayed at motels because my mother had had it at that point. You've got to remember that roughing it for my family was staying at a 1 or 2 diamond auto club motel. You know of what I speak. So choosing to spend 2 weeks in this camper, well, that was an adventure to say the least. But to this day, I remember waking up early in the morning to behold the Sierra Nevada mountains, something that I had never seen before. We conned my father into driving the camper down to the Devil's Post Pile into Red's Meadow. If you've ever been on that road, it's a real delight when you're in a camper. I remember going through the northern Nevada, staying at Angel Lake, seeing Salt Lake City, hiking around the Grand Tetons, sitting by a campfire roasting marshmallows at some little campground in the middle of Idaho. I remember the geysers at Yellowstone, but we never did see any bears on that trip. And I even remember running across a moose when we were hiking in the Tetons. Lots of lakes, lots of rivers. I also remember we had the strangest assortment of food one could imagine stored inside that little refrigerator in the camper. The main thing was the easier it was to prepare, the better. You see, friends, no one in the suburbs had heard of glamping, like we call it in this day and age. It was not gourmet. My parents were really pretty good sports about the whole thing, and my sister and I even managed to get along pretty well for the first day or two. And we only had to hunt for the dog once. Not bad. But I will admit, we never did another trip in the camper. That was the one and only time. Now, there are many who believe that half the fun of any kind of trip like this is choosing where you're going to go and what you're going to do and where you're going to stay. And with the advent of the internet and online booking, the choices nowadays are so fast, you really have to focus on what exactly you are looking to do because there are so many choices. You remember those old AAA guidebooks? Those are almost a thing of the past, aren't they? With the many websites that are now devoted to travel, and regardless of the era in which this was being done or the methodology that was being used, there were still trade-offs you had to make. You could never do it all, so there was prioritizing which had to be done if you're going to make it on the trip. This is one of the reasons that I believe the idea of a road trip or a journey is a really strong metaphor for life. You see, we are constantly having to make choices, and we frequently find ourselves at crossroads where we have to choose one path at the expense of another path. We're certainly not alone in this endeavor. It really is a common part of our human experience in all times and in all places. Some of the choices that we have to make are benign. They're more a matter of preference than anything else. But some of the choices we have made have led to disaster. Perhaps they've led to war or great suffering. Friends, we are the products of our choices. Our world history is the product of our choices that have been made through and across countless generations. It should be no surprise to us that stories in our Bible are often about making choices. In fact, we find many stories about roads and journeys, and that's going to be the content of our worship together for the next several weeks. I think the concept of road trip fits really well into our biblical narrative. Now, one of the first big road trips about which our ancient texts speak and the choices that were made was found in the narrative about Abram, Sarai, and their family, a story that is very, very ancient in origin, but a story that's really also very modern in its meaning. The story begins with Terah, the father of Abraham, and he had been a resident, as we heard in the text, of Ur, an ancient city in Mesopotamia that was on the river Euphrates. Terah got this notion that it was time to live in a different place, the land of Canaan, a place that was over 1,000 miles away from the place he called home, absolutely a world away. And like so many stories of immigrants throughout history, he took his family, and specifically we were told, he took Abram, his son, and Sarai, Abram's wife, as well as his grandson, Lot. Well, in that first part of the journey, they never made it to Canaan. Instead, they settled down in the ancient city of Haran. They made it about 600 miles or so. Now, the narrator of this story is marvelously silent as to why this trip occurred. Was it perhaps economic opportunity? Was it an escape from a bad situation? Was it leaving political oppression or an environment that no longer worked for the family? We do not know. But what we do know is that the family stayed in Haran for a period of time, acquiring, as we learn, possessions, slaves, and livestock. In other words, they prospered. They were prospering. But then this strange event happens. All of a sudden, Abram is at a place where he is facing a major choice. A major choice because, as the story tells us, he had a God moment, a God experience, which changed his life and changed the life of his family and countless generations to come. And this God experience presented him a choice to follow a path that was set before him or not. It all centered around that original reason Terah moved his family from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And as the story tells us, Abram took everything he had, his family, his possessions. He left Haran, and he finally made the trek to Canaan that Terah had started so many years before. Now, when we're considering the story, and we probably remember it from long ago in Sunday school, what we often forget is the place they were going was already occupied land. Abram and his family, quite honestly, were just another set of nomads in the midst of this. But this is the story that our faith ancestors say established God's promise of land to Abram and his descendants. And two times we're told that Abram built an altar to the Lord where he was giving thanks. Kind of a road marker, don't you think, that something special happened in this place? Not unlike a lot of those road markers we see as we're driving around on our road trips. Well, you see, this story really, when we think about it, does focus on choice. The choice to leave one place for another. And it's a story we know that also continues to play out in our modern Middle Eastern culture. On another level, though, this is not just a story about a choice of locale. This was also a story about making a choice of a world view. Abram's narrative represented a new understanding about God. That was one of the points that was being made. The one God that would eventually enter into covenant with this nomadic family. So this story is critically important for us because it's part of the beginnings of this belief in one God. Now, leaving one place for another, choosing a route, is something which is a part of all of our histories. Many of our stories are like that of Sarai and Abram, where family moved from one place to another. For some, coming to this land in which we live is a recent happening. For others, it was generations ago. Choosing the route, choosing this path, was for a whole host of reasons for our people. But economic opportunity, perhaps escaping persecution, perhaps seeking religious freedom, were certainly some of the top reasons for making a choice to leave behind the homeland, or the old country, as my people used to say. So choosing a route is not just about a physical locale. Choosing this route can also be a symbol for many of the life situations in which we find ourselves. What are our aspirations? What are the journeys that we perhaps want to begin? Where are the places we yearn to be? What are the crossroads in our lives? Which are the paths we hope we choose? Do we perhaps have vocational dreams? Do we perhaps have ideas about relationships into which we want to enter? Do we perhaps find ourselves in situations which, sadly to say, are not life-giving, and we want to choose a path instead toward health and wholeness? Are we at a place, perhaps, where we do not want our addictions to control us any longer? Are we sensing that it may be time to move away from our comfort zones? Or perhaps we are realizing that we need to let go. We need to let go of old ideas and old attitudes in order to find a better way. Might we be at a place where we want to better understand our relationship to God, and we're looking for the best route to make that happen? Some of the choices in front of us, friends, may have the effect of being life overhauling. Perhaps some of the choices that are in front of us right now are more course corrections. But the biggest issue for all of us is to take a chance and to take action. Action that allows us to move beyond our complacency, or perhaps our sense of being stuck. You see, I believe that Abram and Sarai's story is our story. It is our story every day, making a choice for something different, for something better. What are those choices, friends, that are in front of us today? What are each of us contemplating? And perhaps the real questions we need to consider: do we trust God to guide us? Or perhaps where might God be nudging each of us to go? Yes, friends, what is the path that we are considering? How is Abram and Sarai's story our story? Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.